Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Legend of Takhti.
He was the best wrestler in Iranian history.
Amazing sports stories from the BBC World Service.
Rumors spread that
he had been killed.
Search for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
A woman in a beautiful blue and silver dress is dancing with the bride at a traditional Afghan wedding. She's organised this flamboyant event, and her name is Hatra. But this is not Afghanistan. This family is in exile in Canada. I first met Hatra 2 decades ago in a remote northwestern province of Afghanistan, when her life and mine were very different. I'm Julia Paul, and in 2004 I made my first visit to Afghanistan. I was part of a wave of international aid workers who flooded into the country to help capacity build. I was training young people to work in the media to report on the first elections, but I fell in love with the country and the people.
Jamil Jan, salam.
Welcome to Kabul, Afghanistan.
It's so good to see you.
It's part of a project called Women Spread the Word, put together by journalist and writer Julia Paul.
Since then, I've visited many more times to train journalists and work with women writers, and even delivered online training when the security situation deteriorated.
Hi, Julia.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I'm sorry I'm not there.
But 3 years ago, the Taliban retook the country. Now, most of Afghanistan's thriving media has been closed down, and hard-won women's rights have been reversed. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service, and for this episode of Heart and Soul, which explores stories of spirituality, I've tracked down 2 women I worked with all those years ago to hear how their lives have changed. Their stories are not easy to listen to. Although they're both in exile, they still have extended family back in Afghanistan. Many other people have also helped me to put this documentary together, but I'm not naming them or their organisations, as anyone working with the international community in Afghanistan is still at risk from the Taliban.
We had such a great time with the family.
This is Hatra. She's a confident mother of 2 in her 50s. She has long dark hair and is wearing pastel pink lipstick. But when I first met her, she was a shy teenager, dressed in a floor-length black coat and a brown headscarf.
I was 14 by that time and I was already engaged. There was no school. My mom was really worried about the situation. My dad was passed away years ago and I was the oldest child. And she needed to have a man in the family. And she decided that I have to engage with my cousin. So, yeah, that was the period where the life was really difficult and challenging for me. The most important decision of my lifetime has been made by elders in the family, which really changed my entire life.
What was your understanding of being a Muslim at that time when you were a teenager?
As a good girl, as a Muslim young girl, I have to accept the decision of the family because they will take the best decision for my favor, choosing a life partner for myself. So that was the impression of the Islam and my responsibilities and my commitments to my religion and to my family.
But with the removal of the Taliban, suddenly opportunities were opening up for young women. Hatra applied to a project to work at a new community radio station run by a Canadian organisation. And that's where we met.
It was really amazing, unbelievable, because I was never thinking that I would be able to go and work in a radio station. I could speak up and people could listen to me. Working in a radio station for women was really unbelievable. I remember the day that I presented my own radio show. There was a group of visitors from Kabul. I prepared the playlist for the radio, and I put my own program on the playlist as well. I was so excited to hear my first radio show, and I was so curious to see the reactions.
What did you think of us Western women? Did we seem very strange when we came to work with you?
I personally really wanted to work with international communities. And I was always dreaming to work in a very fancy office with internationals, running up projects. I did not even know what all the details of the work would be, but that was my dream. I was so happy. There was nothing strange. That was amazing. Of course, it was so new in the community when we were going out. Then there were no international, especially women's, in the province. But later, the communities, they wanted to come and speak. What's your name? Where are you from? But that was so positive, I think.
Yeah, I remember a lot of interest whenever you went out on the street. People would stare at you because it was still unusual then.
As a young Afghan woman, I was feeling so proud. See, I'm working with an international. Everyone was asking a lot of questions and they were feeling that, okay, we are so special.
And then Hatara says something very moving.
Working in radio station really changed my entire life because I was feeling that through that microphone, how we can speak up, reach people with very great messages about different aspects of their life. At the same time, I was also learning about myself, about my future, importance of education especially, because that was really the moment we really needed to present those programs for people after 3 years of dark life, to let the people build their future. So it was not only broadcasting programs, it was a learning period of life for myself. I think today, whoever I am, whatever positive I could done in my life, is all coming because of the radio station.
That experience did lead to a successful career for Hatara. She rose up through the ranks, working with international organisations, leading projects to reduce violence against women, help women return to education or start their own businesses. But as a working woman herself, she still faced challenges.
Actually, that was really difficult time of life as well for me. I got married. I had my first child while I was going to work and I was going to university as well. Even though it was 2009, there was just very few women also working in international organizations. It was not easy. It was not really accepted entirely in the province or in the country. But I luckily had my mom always encouraging me not to give up. So she was encouraging me always. She was not letting me to give up and she was not letting me to feel down while it was not easy.
And how did your faith fit into all of this? Because many people still believe Muslim women in Afghanistan should remain at home.
Luckily, I'm a Muslim. I'm proud of being a Muslim. In my religion, there's no restriction of education, working, and practicing your rights as a human, as a woman, as a girl. I think all these rights has been given to me as a Muslim woman. Unfortunately, all the interpretations coming from Taliban is their own interpretation. That is not the religion that I am from. The best rights, the most respect has been given for women and girls in my religion.
And then she tells me something startling about her work educating women in remote conservative areas of her country.
We would serve any individual equally based on their needs. We were providing education classes in those districts. And it was so interesting to see that the Taliban let us go and implement our projects in those districts that there is need. There were hundreds and thousands of girls out of school with lack of access to education. The government doesn't have access to those areas, and the Taliban were letting their kids to come and attend our classes to get education.
So let me get this right. The men who believed women should stay at home and who were attacking Afghans who worked with external organisations were also allowing their daughters to attend education classes funded by the international community.
We had to negotiate with them every single day that we were implementing our project. Not just once. It was a process. It was a continuous process. As a project manager and the lead for the entire region and the province, I was able to negotiate with them. And my project was the first project when the organization was able to start in the hard-to-reach areas. And that was one of the successful projects. And it was expanded in the other regions entirely in Afghanistan.
That's amazing.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on the BBC World Service.
911, what is your emergency?
Most towns have a local celebrity.
Who is it that's missing?
It's my dad. He went out into the water.
An eccentric known throughout the community.
Inverness market trader Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Inverness revolved around Kim in a way.
Difference is, the local eccentric from my hometown made international headlines.
The man's son reported he disappeared in treacherous water.
Search and rescue teams thought they had yet another drowning on their hands. Or did they?
The story's not adding up.
He is completely unhinged.
It was violent, it was controlling, it was sadistic.
Dead Man Running, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julia Paul, and in this programme, I'm reconnecting with two Afghan women I first met decades ago to hear how their lives have changed.
Okay, so I know some people weren't here last time. My name is Julia Paul, and I am a journalist.
In 2013, I returned to Kabul to meet a whole new group of amazing young women. This time, creative writers.
After talking time and again about the problems in our post-conflict society, I feel that I have missed something. I want to take a deep breath and untwist my wings for a fly.
Zainab was one of them. She was just 21, and I have an image of her with sparkling eyes and wearing a vibrant red patterned headscarf.
In other parts of the world, but here, where
she'd been born in Iran to Afghan exiles, and had only recently been brought to Afghanistan. Her dream was to study space, as she told me in an interview recorded then in 2013.
I always wished to become an astronomer, but in Afghanistan, we do not have this major.
An astronomer?
Astronomy, yeah.
Watching the stars?
Watching the stars, probing the sky, yes.
Oh, it's so interesting.
And even traveling to space, but this annoyed me a lot the first time I came back to Afghanistan. But when I saw the society, I felt that Afghanistan needs the capabilities, the abilities that I already attained during the migration in Iran. So I participated in social activities and did my part to the people of my country.
Yeah, I just started recording now.
Thank you, and I will do that here.
When we meet again on Zoom, a decade has passed. She now lives in America and is dressed and made up like a smart young businesswoman. But her smile is the same.
How fresh my voice was at that time.
I found, listening back to Zainab's youthful optimism and ambition to help her country, almost unbearable in light of what has happened. But I wondered what she thought.
It was very amazing because it refreshed a lot of things in me.
You were so enthusiastic. It was just lovely to speak to you. You were so full of energy.
Yeah, but I reflected back. I remember that becoming an astronomer was only possible for me out of Afghanistan. And being in Afghanistan gave me the opportunity to know my people and understanding the culture and everything there.
How much was being a Muslim a part of your life, going from one Muslim country to another?
For me personally, I was seeing
different interpretation of religion as a challenge for Afghanistan and Afghan women, and combating religious extremism while respecting individuals' freedom of religion. It was very much difficult. Over time, I found my identity, I found my liberty, my ancestors, and the real meaning of the homeland.
And like Hatara, she also welcomed visitors like me.
I think at that time we were fresh people with open mindset because of the internationals who were coming to Afghanistan. Besides getting education, we were learning a lot about what's going on in the world, not only in Afghanistan. And as we knew more, we could better understand what's good for our country.
That's interesting, because actually I didn't think about it like that. How did people in Afghanistan regard women writing in English? Was it a dangerous thing for you to do at that time?
What Taliban doesn't want is educated women. And through writing, you can tell your voice to other people and make them aware of your situation. It changed my life because I was feeling that I'm heard by some people who can maybe help. And I was improving my English writing.
Zainab went on to study at one of the private universities setting up in Kabul at that time. And, like Hatara, was also working full time to pay for her education and support her family. She was dedicated to improving her future and that of her country. But others saw her as a traitor.
In 2016, we were in the classroom and we heard a very horrible explosion. And then we realized that Taliban have attacked to the university. And I escaped through the exit door. But it was a very traumatic experience for me because many of my friends and students were stuck inside the campus for one night. And Taliban were there. And they killed two professors and a few students and a few others were shot. It was very horrible. And I was about to graduate. But because of this delay, I was graduated in 2017 because university shut down for one semester and another semester. It was very horrible for us to see exactly the same places that we were escaping or other students or professors were killed. It was very frustrating, but returning to university had a feeling of fighting and showing them that we do not stop. And that was some kind of motivation that we had.
After graduation, Zainab continued to work improving access to human rights for Afghans. But for the Taliban, Afghans who worked with international organizations were spies.
In 2019, I was working on civic education programs and Taliban attack killed security guards. And we were stuck in the safe room for hours. It was a very horrible experience for me. We were trying, we were working to build our country and we were putting our lives in danger to work for a better future for Afghanistan. But some people comes and spread some rumors and some people believe those and we are misunderstood in our society.
How did you find continuing your faith as a Muslim but also continuing to push against these conservative mindsets? How difficult was that for you?
It was very difficult because everyone in Afghanistan, especially extremist people, have fixed mindset. They are not flexible to even hear you. There are many interpretations of Islam in Afghanistan.
After taking a break, Zainab was able to return to work. But she recognised the battle she was fighting was not just with the Taliban.
When a woman starts working in an organisation, other men think that, oh, these women are not good women that they are working. Or maybe their family doesn't care about them and that's why that they are working. Many, many interpretations. But we had to change it. Women in Afghanistan have not fought only with Taliban. They have fought with this society, with the fixed mindsets, with people who are working with international organizations working for gender equality and women rights, but they themselves didn't believe women rights in their own family structure. It has been a very big challenge for women in Afghanistan. They could not do it overnight. It took them 20 years of sacrifices and working and struggling and proving to the men in Afghanistan that they deserve, that they are capable of building Afghanistan. They are contributors.
Although life in Afghanistan was by no means easy, especially for women, by 2021, both Hatara and Zainab were settled. Then, in August, everything changed.
As the Taliban move into Kabul, Western countries are moving out. They're using the airport.
Along with millions of other Afghans, Hatara and Zainab watched as their lives shattered.
The moment the Taliban took control of Afghanistan, I was no more able to stay in the country.
There were times that we were about to die in the middle of that crowd. You could see how hopeless, how panicked our people is.
For both these women, this is the hardest part of their stories.
That is so emotional question. It will bring me to a very hard period of memories.
It was very uncertain and insecure situation that I never forget those days.
Zainab Jan, are you okay?
Yes, I'm okay. Just, I usually don't speak about what happened to us those days. Taliban started searching if they were finding any documents, any persons who had been working with government or internationals, they were killing them.
Staying in hiding for about 2 months with my 15 family members in just two-bedroom apartments. We had really difficult time. We were not able to get out of the apartment.
I remember I was crying all the time in the airport, but finally we made it to the gate after 2 times trying. And the second time, I was escorted by U.S. Embassy personnel and we were evacuated from Afghanistan to the U.S.
Khatara and her family were eventually able to leave thanks to the support of the Canadian documentary maker Leslie Knott, who she'd first met working at the radio station.
Finally, she was able to put myself and my kids, one of my sisters and my mom, on one of the chartered flights toward Greece.
So Hatara and Zainab escaped, but now they were refugees.
Many people left behind and just mourning for your lost country, the lost achievements. After 11 years of living in my home country, I became just a refugee again, starting from zero here, and lost everything that I had personally built for my life so far.
We started everything from scratch here in Canada, but nothing is the same. I always miss Afghanistan. I miss my professional career. I miss my work, my colleagues, my life back home.
3 years have passed since those terrible times, but these women's stories are just a tiny snapshot of what has happened to millions of Afghans. It's estimated that more than 10 million are now in exile, spread across 103 countries. While for those left in Afghanistan, life is getting harder and harder. Although security has improved in some areas, UN agencies say more than 29 million people are now in need, with little or no access to healthcare or food. And it's estimated that 75% of girls are now out of school. I'm still proud of the work I did in Afghanistan. I trained dozens of young people to work as journalists and broadcasters, and the women's writing project I developed with the British Council produced books of Afghan women's stories for schools. But I've also reflected over these 20 years. The arrival of people like me forced huge change on a deeply conservative country very quickly. And if, ultimately, Afghanistan was going to return to the way it was in 2001, I wonder if it was right that we went at all.
Oh, that was a very difficult question to answer. Well, international communities came in Afghanistan and invested a lot financially, emotionally and culturally. And it was great that we had very strong women and very educated women like yourself helped women in Afghanistan, women and girls, to live a good life. People had an inspiration for a better life. And I am one of the examples of those situations. But what went wrong was that process of support for improvement, that process of investment was not protected at the end. So after all those years of improvements, living the dream life for all Afghans in Afghanistan, and suddenly changing in the worst situation is very difficult.
People who came and served in Afghanistan and helped people in Afghanistan, of course they have brought some changes. I know many friends who they have been educated and aware of what are the opportunities outside of Afghanistan. Many of them came out of Afghanistan and they have a good life now. So we cannot say that everything that they have done in the last 20 years and now it's destroyed completely. No. Even there are many women who are stuck now in Afghanistan. There are many youth stuck in Afghanistan and they are trying to get out of Afghanistan. And it's because they have been empowered during the last 20 years.
And Hatara agrees.
Women and girls of Afghanistan is not the same that they were 30 years back. They know their rights, they know their values. So that's the reason they are still not giving up. And that is the good part. They are much more stronger now. They can still fight for their right.
I hope so. But I also think they need to know that other women around the world, people like me who came to help the first time, have not forgotten them. Afghanistan 20 Years On was produced and presented by me, Julia Paul.
What is your emergency?
Most towns have a local celebrity.
Who is it that's missing?
It's my dad. He went out into the water.
An eccentric known throughout the community.
Inverness market trader Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Inverness revolved around Kim in a way.
Difference is, the local eccentric from my hometown made international headlines.
The man's son reported he disappeared in treacherous water.
Search and rescue teams thought they had yet another drowning on their hands. Or did they?
The story's not adding up.
He is completely unhinged.
It was violent. It was controlling. It was sadistic.
Dead Man Running, wherever you get your podcasts.